Gabriel here. It is Friday, October 17th, 2025, and things are going very well. I can happily say I am thrilled to report that today I weighed in at 336 today, which is a new low. I have definitely conquered the 340s and am now comfortably within 330. In addition to that, I seem to be just flourishing in general because I can now do a couple of push-ups. That's been something I've desperately wanted, at least as far back as when I was 400 pounds at the start of the year. And I'm able to do, at least today, I checked, I was able to do 4 in a row. This is definitely the start of me trying to see just how good I can get at some of these basic calisthenics. And it makes me really happy, honestly, because I spent a long time really trying to focus on my arm strength and really trying to build up to the point. It does seem like losing 60 pounds definitely made probably a bulk of the difference, but hey, who's counting? And so, yeah, I'm very happy about this new feat or skill that I have acquired, and I'm really looking forward to just getting better and better as time goes on. I can say it's definitely surreal being at the gym nowadays. Many people who, I guess, aren't there at the same schedule as me are now regularly telling me I look unrecognizable. I've heard that specific term used to describe me at least 3 times in the last month, so I'm absolutely over the moon with how much encouragement I've gotten at this stage, especially recently. It does seem like getting below 350 was the magic number that created a tidal wave of validation coming my way, and it definitely means quite a bit. That said, still have a long way to go. I mean, I'm really excited to continue to push forward. I'm really just over the moon to have hit a new low that I am thrilled to keep going. And honestly, it does seem like I am now getting onto the easy road. Truthfully, at the risk of tempting fate, I am feeling incredibly blessed that a significant amount of uncertainty has been taken from me. So a lot of the things I had been worrying about have now kind of resolved themselves. And so at least for now, things are lining up in ways that make me feel really assured and confident that I can really push forward in 2026, which I was getting quite nervous for winter. I realized that I have come further than I think and that I can really just execute the plan and things will continue on. And reassured in that, with some of the uncertainty off the table now, I am absolutely thrilled to say that I am excited for what is coming ahead in 2026. So much so that I actually want to retinker how I share some of these updates, especially on my website, because for this year, 2025, I had this ambitious, lofty goal of losing 200 pounds in 2025 alone, which was definitely lofty. In fact, my other half guessed that I would probably only hit around 150 in that time. And it seems like she, at least, is looking more correct than I am. Depending on how hard I push to the end of the year, I'm pretty optimistic that I will at least be close, within striking distance of that ambitious target. But for 2026, I'm thinking in spirit of what started this. I wrote a New Year's resolutions post outlining where I was and where I wanted to go. And I'm thinking I need to do another one. I'm thinking by the end of the year, I will spend a significant amount of time writing up Gabriel's New Year's resolution post for 2025. And I am definitely intrigued. And I'm definitely looking forward to sharing what I've learned in this journey in that post. And so to somewhat preview, if not just outright tease the content of that upcoming piece, I really just want to share that if there's one thing I want to change from this year to next year, is shifting from results focused to process focused, or even better, from results motivated to process motivated. Because as gratifying as it is to see the scale number go down, I am fully expecting reasonable weight loss numbers to slow down. I mean, if for no other reason than the last month has been particularly challenging as far as making the number go down. And so I'm realizing I definitely need to broaden the scope, not of what I'm focusing on, because weight loss will still be the primary goal, but I want to broaden the things that I am keeping track of to remind myself that I'm making progress. And so in the new year of 2026, I will also be taking various body measurements and reporting on those, as well as making a more formalized plan for my exercise routine. Because with the benefit of a lot of uncertainty being taken out of the equation, I am absolutely looking forward to the fact that now I can build a stable schedule that I can plan around. And with that in mind, I want to assess myself on how well I am maintaining that schedule. Because throughout this process, I've got an idea, I've tried to see how far I can go with it. There's a couple of things I've introduced, and for the most part, I have been aiming to do, you know, a major bout of activity, whether it's at the gym or swimming, 5 days a week. But I will definitely admit most weeks I have fallen short of that. And so the goal for 2026 is to A, start the year with a formalized plan of what I want to, at minimum, regularly accomplish. And then I want to assess to myself throughout the year how good I am at actually carrying out said plan. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that if I am to be outright honest, the goal for 2026 truly is to make the best out of whatever body transformation is possible during that year. Because at this stage of the game, I can definitely say I feel like I have a very high level of control over my eating habits when things are consistent. And I am very assured in my ability to continue to lose weight in the year ahead. But on the other hand, I also want to become more excited about the various fitness goals I'm interested in throughout this year. I want to get stronger. I want to reach higher heights with the various lifts I've tried out already. I want to, you know, continue with the push-ups, eventually maybe do a pull-up. Being able to do a pull-up in 2026 would definitely be a major milestone. But on top of that, I'm very much interested in tracking that progression of getting better at weightlifting across the board. Not necessarily because weightlifting itself is the goal. Well, actually, no, it is because weightlifting is the goal. I can definitely say I've been bit by the weightlifting bug. It is something that is such a big part of my life now that I'm like, I totally understand it. I am very much addicted to the process of getting stronger, and I want to take that seriously. Because unfortunately, when I was at my highest, such ambitious, lofty ideas were entirely outside the realm of possibility. But now I'm thinking more, what are the things I'm going to be interested in as I approach a healthy body weight? And the thing is what I'm really looking for is I want to really see how much I can push the limit on strength goals throughout this year. Because you would think after a year of weightlifting that I would be pretty good at it. But no, there's a long way to go. I have realized that doing the work has a lot of variability, and there's a level of effort you have to consistently push in to really get the results you want. And I'm still very far away from working as hard in the gym as I would truthfully like to. And I don't know, I'm gonna have to make a meme for this post, because there's like this meme of the Ratatouille guy looking and getting all shocked, and it's like, oh, you have to train to failure on all the lifts, not just the lifts you like. And for me, that is a shocking and horrifying development. I can't believe I have to not only learn to train hard at the lifts I like, but I have to learn how to train hard in all the lifts, or otherwise accommodate with volume or blah, 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 nitty gritty details there. So that's definitely a big goal for 2026, is definitely feeling more in tune with the mind and body connection and being able actually to push out the force required to train hard in many different lifts, rather than right now, for the last little bit, I've kind of just been focusing on what? I've been focusing on overhead press, and I was really glad that really just this last week, I added 10 more pounds to the bar and was still able to do 10. And so, I've got up to 100. And so that's continuing to progress nicely. And honestly, I'm just glad I can get better while I'm still losing weight. And unfortunately, my squat has kind of atrophied in many ways. I realized that by focusing everything on the overhead press, and I think general, like, the body changes, you know, I'm losing fat in areas, certain areas are squishing different, is how I describe it. And so I have found it honestly quite a big challenge to consistently squat at my size. When I look at the videos I've recorded of myself squatting, I don't like, you know, the bending forward side of it. My trainer warns that it's like, oh, don't let the bar take you down, but that does seem to be an issue, and I'm definitely not trying to go crazy there. So I do need to work on squatting quite a bit. And so part of this, and part of the desire to switch more towards a process-driven approach, is that I do want to develop a daily routine, because it's nice to exercise 5 days a week and, you know, be reasonably active. I think that's pretty good overall. But I'm realizing if fitness is to be part of my long-term weight maintenance strategy, I think a daily fitness routine would work quite well. My younger brother tells me his routine involves just a couple of planks, but for me, I think I might want a broader assortment of things. And so, as much as I loathe to really add it, I'm thinking a significant amount of just regular squats or goblet squats on a regular basis may help me work out my familiarity with squatting in general, because I'm definitely finding it difficult to be consistent with that lift. But on top of that, today, you know, I did push-ups today. I'm trying to like ease into the whole daily schedule things by at least doing a exercise at home a day. And so I'm trying to ramp up towards that ambitious 2026 plan, because that is effectively the plan. I'm going to write it out. I'm going to ease towards that target towards New Year's, and then hopefully by then I'll just be carrying out said 2026 plan. That is the hope. We'll see how it goes. But I really just have to say, I am absolutely astounded, shocked, and pleased with how everything has gone so far. It's been a little over a year of me being at the gym, but it's been a couple of years of me being at this, and I can definitely say I feel transformed in many different ways. And I will say, everybody sees the external changes, but it really is the fact that it is so much nicer up in my mind these days. I am no longer constantly barraged with ridiculous amounts of shame and self-loathing. Yes, I still have struggles. My mind is not perfectly clean. I have not reached nirvana, or I do not have extreme levels of inner peace, but I can definitely notice that it is radically better. And that's the thing I'm very grateful for. And I feel very blessed for the fact that I had the opportunity to embark on this journey. And I really do think, and that's kind of what makes it weird to be in this situation, because now I feel like I'm wholly in uncharted territory. Because actually, I tried recording a walk before, which didn't make it, but I said something that's worth pulling in here, which is the fact that I can now fit into 2XL clothes somewhat comfortably, depending on which brand it is, but give or take, I can now fit in some 2XL items. And this is down from 6XL. And what's crazy is that, like, in that previous recording, I said, oh, well, maybe 2XL has changed since then, because I was, you know, kind of already pushing myself down and being like, oh, maybe it's not that big a deal. But then I remembered some of the clothes I have are actually clothes I had in a box for like the last decade now. And so, actually, no, I am wearing the same clothes I was wearing for however long I've had them. And so, whatever 2XL was when I bought this overcoat, no, it absolutely fits now. And that's really what I think is quite cool, is the fact that I can comfortably make it into this new size, which radically changes the options. In fact, now that fall is here and it's getting a little chillier, I'm like, oh goodness, I gotta rush to get some stuff to stay warm. And so I got a couple of things, but honestly, I'm wishing I put more thought into it actually, because yeah, you can just get a bunch of the cheapest stuff, but I will admit there's like a difficult point, because it's like, I don't want to end here, so it's like it doesn't make sense to go crazy when it comes to buying stuff at this size. But at the same time, I need to stay warm. And as I've said before, you know, sweaters are a nice thing to have, even if they're a little oversized. You know, there's a lot of flexibility in that way. And so all I'm saying is that, like, being at 2XL now, it's like I'm pretty much the lowest I've been for most of my adult life, and really as long as I can truly remember these days. And so I actually don't really know what's in store. I was telling myself that it's like, oh, I'm not excited enough for, you know, the road ahead, because It's a reference to a while back. My trainer asked me, it's like, oh, what would you say to yourself at the start? And honestly, what I said right away at that point was, you're not excited enough for this. Like at the time, I did not understand how much more capable I could become, how much more comfortable in my own skin I could become, how much opportunities would open up for me by making this shift. And that's the thing, is it's like, yeah, I was excited for it. Yeah, I pushed as hard as I could. But honestly and truly, I will still admit, starting out, I was still more terrified than excited. And now it's kind of a different problem. I'm more confused than excited, because this being the lowest I've been in really quite a long time, I don't really know what I'm in store for. I don't remember what having a highly functional body is like. I don't know what being sufficiently active without carrying all this extra stuff on me is even going to be like to experience. And I can definitely say I have no idea what it's going to be like when people at the gym remember what I looked like walking in and I'm basically done the journey. That's got to be a very weird thing that's only surreal to imagine. And so that's the thing I'm really trying to reflect on, is like, how can I truly get myself excited enough for what's ahead? And that's why I'm focusing on the activity and why I want to come up with this super ambitious exercise schedule to, you know, really push as hard as I can into this final stretch. And that's the thing, I'm loving so much of it. I'm loving being active. I'm loving getting stronger. That, I mean, that I'll say is a good addiction I have taken on in these times. And honestly, the gym community has been a huge part of it. It's been so great to, you know, just go in. It's just another day. I'm like head down, you know, oh, I just gotta get this done at the gym, you know, whatever. Still a little bit afraid of being perceived. And I don't know, it's funny because it's like just in the corner of my ear, I hear someone say, holy shit, man. And he was like all impressed that I had changed and said I looked unrecognizable. And it's like, damn, that's surreal. You know, when you get interrupted with nice comments, that's definitely a different environment than the one I was in when I self-isolated for so long. And then lockdowns made a bunch of people way more isolated than they ever should have been. And so, yeah, I definitely think things are in a really great place right now, and I am feeling totally blessed and very grateful, and I'm just trying to really hype myself up for the road ahead. And I guess that reminds me of a rant that I have had stewing in my head about this kind of stuff, because I am now exposed to more, let's just say, fitness memes and content in general, because that's like the online subculture I have bathed my mind in for quite some time now. And so these days, there seems to be this bizarre war on motivation. You'll see many memes to the effect of, oh, you don't need motivation, you need discipline. Which, as far as putting things into process and getting the work done, I totally understand. I totally understand all the memes out there saying, oh, motivation wanes, it's unreliable, don't, you know, stop yourself by waiting for perfect motivation. All of these things I completely agree with, but the but here is that I actually disagree with the kind of overall sense and message that sends that somehow motivation is not important, which maybe I'm just reading too much into the tone of these things. Maybe it's just too much of a backlash to people just focusing on motivation. I don't know what the game is, but I do think these days, at least as far as the meme cycle is presenting it, I definitely think motivation is completely and totally underrated. Because on some level, the most important factor in any diet, in any exercise regime, or any lifestyle change you're trying to make is that you need to adhere to it. It does not matter if you do something and then ultimately you stop putting the work in because it doesn't matter to you. And so clearly we all recognize that some level of motivation is truly necessary. And so I think this is kind of what's created the kind of backlash cycle of, oh, you know, gotta get motivation, man, you gotta get motivated. And then people are like, no, screw your motivation, you gotta get discipline. Discipline is very important, and I do think it is a attribute we should respect, but I don't think we should totally discount its younger brother, motivation. And so what I mean by this is that I think what many people are looking for when they are saying, oh, I don't feel motivated, I don't really have the desire to do these things, I actually don't think it's necessarily a lack of motivation. I do wonder on some level if it's actually a lack of hope. And so what many people are calling motivation is really just the understanding that they actually can get what they want out of the process. And I think that's where it gets tricky. Because if you're someone like me who was super heavy, very demotivated, very demoralized, you probably do need a little extra kick just than being told, oh, you need more discipline. Now, again, I wholeheartedly agree that in many cases, a little bit of discipline will go a long way. But the important distinction I'm trying to make is that I think it is genuinely impossible to make progress if you don't believe it's possible to get anything good out of it in the first place. Which is why, for me, the hardest part of this process was rebuilding the trust with myself that I could continue to keep moving forward, even if I made a mistake. For instance, I was so accustomed to having huge amounts of fast food. I was so accustomed to letting my food cravings control my every desire and thought on some level that I did not honestly believe that, oh, if I did good for a week, that it would, you know, make a difference because it would all end up hopeless anyways. And so to me, the reason why I think motivation for many people is important and why we shouldn't bash motivation, why we should cultivate a certain level of it, is that we should absolutely be crystal clear about the fact that there is hope in many of these situations, that we can recognize the things that we can change. You know, that's that old prayer that everyone's familiar with. Give me the wisdom to recognize the things I can and can't change. But I would say we need, and maybe I'm forgetting that line of it, but it's like we need the courage and optimism to go for the things we can truly change. Because the things we have control over are such a small fraction of the overall concerns we have about ourselves and the world. And so really, I totally, totally get that motivation is absolutely a critical part of the process. Now, yes, I wholeheartedly agree. It is not there consistently throughout the process. When I have gone through this long road, there have absolutely been moments of waning motivation, and sometimes, yeah, just keeping with the habits needs to carry me forward. But I put together a small collection of motivational memes that I would revisit every once in a while, and I generally try to keep my mind in an atmosphere of motivating content in general. And I can definitely say what really helps me really push forward is rekindling that desire, rekindling that passion for what I'm aiming for, and to remind myself of the reasons for all of it. And so I genuinely wonder if it is true that maybe motivation is just as important as discipline, and maybe we need to be kinder with people as far as saying, oh, you know, motivation isn't an excuse. And I guess I struggle with the phrase excuses nowadays, because when I think towards my past self and all the things that needed to change for me to begin making progress, one of the earliest changes was kind of realizing that I wasn't hopeless, that things could get better, even though in those early times, I didn't even know what better looked like. I still don't even really know what better can look like. And so being able to have the hope and optimism to be willing to believe that you can make something better, that you can make a difference, despite the fact that, yes, there are inevitably going to be setbacks. There are going to be challenges. There are going to be things that completely derail the process for a little bit. But I can definitely say I think I am beginning a tiny bit to understand and appreciate what the role of patience is in all this stuff, as I understand that a big part of patience is being patient and abiding particular challenges. If I'm having some problem, for instance, say some stressor enters my life and it makes losing weight so much harder, instead of stopping there, melting down, having a complete panic about how that means I can never lose weight again, maybe just spending the time to remind myself that I can get through this, that this, whatever this disruption is, will end, it, or maybe it can be managed or whatever the limiting circumstance is. But more importantly, that there will be a way to bounce back from it, that to understand that this imposition, this disruption, this challenge, this setback, whatever it is, understanding that there is always a way back from it. And I do think when it comes to that process, rekindling your motivation is a key ingredient in making it happen. So that's pretty much my short defense of motivation as a concept, but more importantly, a part of personal growth as a whole. And again, that's not because I think we need to knock on discipline. I do think there is something beautiful about learning to keep promises to yourself. And that's really what I think of as discipline, is that you make these small promises. And why it's so hard to get started when you're as off kilter as I was, is you have basically lost your ability to trust yourself. You'll tell yourself, oh, I'm gonna get up tomorrow and I'm gonna make those eggs and I'm gonna go for a walk. And then the day comes and you don't do it. And then you become very skeptical of your ability to carry out your own plan. And so what I think discipline does for all of us, but especially for those of us who really like get into trying to nurture that skill, is that we are rebuilding our own trust in our ability to carry out plans, objectives, and sometimes it's domain specific. You know, for instance, I had maybe an outsized trust in my ability to do some things, but definitely not others. And that's kind of where it can kind of be difficult, where maybe you are perfectly assured in your ability to do things, say, professionally or, you know, even in other pursuits. But then when it comes to the nitty-gritty of taking care of yourself or doing really basic things, then suddenly you can kind of like hit a wall and it's like, why am I hitting this wall? Why is this so different? And I guess in my experience, what that wall generally is that there is a reason in your life that you have needed to steer clear of that for whatever reasons. Maybe it's that, you know, you avoided certain areas for some reasons, or maybe certain interactions didn't go well. I have no idea. But it's clear to me that the point of discipline and the benefits of discipline is building positive feedback loops in your life by learning to truly trust your own ability, to trust yourself to carry things out. And I can definitely say at this stage of the game, I am quite aware that I am more capable of keeping my own promises to myself in these times, but I definitely still have a long way to go. I'm definitely noticing that, well, my time management skills could use work. I'm noticing that there's a trade-off between what I would like to do and what it takes to get it done. And I mean, that's true for everyone, I'm sure, but it's the kind of thing where now that I'm taking on this process of trying to build up certain levels of discipline, a big part of it is about recognizing where I am and like where I need to improve. What are the regular routines that cause problems? And so I think this is where a lot of people's like overly simplistic advice comes to, where it's like somebody who is, let's just say, very good at carrying things out, or has already built up or been instilled from a young age a certain level of discipline, that to them, keeping in their own promises is really simple and straightforward. They just do it. But then for others, when they're told, you know, by someone like that, oh, just cut out bread, or just do a thing, or, you know, as I had a recent interview with a guy about tech, saying, oh, just install Linux, it'll fix all your problems. It makes many assumptions. And so ironically, this is why I think broadcasting like, oh, everybody should do this to fix Y problem, I'm like, I don't really think that works. I think truly solving problems is an individual process, or at least a collaborative one, that requires a bit more give and take than just, oh, just do a thing. And in fact, that's kind of where I would probably break with diet culture as a whole, where many people will say, oh, just, you know, make a calorie deficit and, you know, just be quiet. Like that's all the discussion that ever needs to be had. And I think this is misguided on a couple of ways. But the place I really think it's misguided is that many people who have weight problems, like myself, we struggle with, you know, really basic levels of that taking care of ourselves. And that's hard, because then it's not just, oh, you have to learn to eat in a calorie deficit. You need to learn all the skills that even make that something. And for me, this was very real and concrete when, especially during the lockdown period, I was dependent on ordering in food to eat it. And of course, you know, fast food ordered in is very tasty, but also very low effort. And so that was kind of the dynamic that was getting at me at the time. And the thing is like, I had to actually build up the mobility that now cooking for myself is absolutely no big deal. And That was a hard-won victory. That was something that definitely took time, and cooking is something that takes practice to be a certain level of familiar with it. And I think for whatever reason, when you're in a state of heightened anxiety, regardless of the cause, I think it makes you very afraid to try new things. And I'm not sure really what drives that, but at least in my case, that was part of the picture, was that I was very hesitant to go outside of familiar experiences. And that's why this whole adventure of me going to the gym has been such a game changer, because now I am regularly in an environment that is still somewhat new to me, but I have had a very good experience with it overall. And to me, when I really think of the benefits of being in this place, this is truly the game changer. When I think of the benefits of going to a gym rather than just buying a bunch of exercise equipment, is I'll definitely say being around people you can interact with and ask questions and, that do seem to notice and care over time, like that definitely makes a big difference. And I can say the value of that is definitely undersold. And it's funny because it reminds me of one of the earliest videos I collected for my motivational memes collection. Unfortunately, I don't know who posted it, so I can't cite the original source, but it's this girl saying that try to think of yourself like a seed. Seeds were made to grow. If a seed isn't growing, don't you shout at it or be insanely hostile to it. You have to ask it as a problem-solving exercise of what does the seed need to grow that it doesn't have? And in our own lives, there are lots of things in our environment that can stop us from going in the direction we want to go. And so how do you change that environment to be more conducive to growth? And that's definitely something I feel, is that like this gym that I'm now becoming more of a part of is definitely a place that I'm very happy to grow at. And nowadays it feels honestly quite easy. It feels like the progress I'm making is something that is very straightforward to carry out. It's just about in the moment putting in the work to lift those weights and, trying to resist the temptation to eat more than I plan out in a day. Seems like I'm, like I said, I feel like I'm on easy street as far as this process is concerned. It's still challenging. I think on a numbers game, it's definitely going to be harder to lose each individual pound now than at the start. But I have so many more things built up now that I feel so much more confident, even in the ability to handle setback. For instance, one of the things that's very, I would say, discussed in overall weight loss discussions is they're like, oh, well, do or don't do this, or else you'll gain it all back. And I think there's this weird, I would say, doomerish, fear preaching of, oh, if you don't do everything absolutely right, you're just gonna gain all the weight back. And to be honest, that was a big part of the thing that kind of held me back. I'm like, oh, well, what's the point of losing all the weight? Because I had already gain back a significant amount of weight. And the fact of the matter is that this isn't an either-or thing. If Gabriel loses what will probably amount to at least 300 pounds, and then I gain 40 back, have I completely failed? Is that somehow a unrecoverable situation? Yeah, it would be pretty tragic if go down to the goal weight and then 10 years down the road I start gaining weight again. Yeah, that would be a problem. But the thing is that I think the fear of gaining it back and how it creates this kind of flippant mentality of, oh, therefore it's not helping worth helping other people, or oh, it's not worth helping ourselves. I think that's very damaging. I think it definitely causes a lot of problems. And at this stage, I can say, having again lost 240 pounds now, I believe, I am not at all afraid of regaining the weight per se. I am definitely aware of what are the things that make it difficult for me to continue to make the kinds of decisions I want to reach the weight I want to. So what I do notice quite a bit is that like I definitely have to give a lot of care to stress management. Like if I say got a new job and I noticed it was like crazy stressful or whatever, I would definitely have to realize that that's something I would have to manage quite carefully to not get off the rails. And again, I feel pretty good about the fact that, yeah, I'm probably always gonna need to keep tabs on the number on the scale one way or another, or at least try to stay within a particular clothing size. Like, to me, at this stage of the game, I am feeling optimistic at least that I have way more tools now than I ever did to manage weight in the long term And to me, that's the real game changer. That said, considering I have done this, considering I have lost a significant amount of weight, gained it back, and then had to restart the process, I definitely understand that it is a serious part of the conversation that does need to be taken seriously. The fact of the matter is that I think part of my problem was that while I was within, let's just say, normal human size proportions, I always used activity as the sole way to control my weight, because truly that was really the only way I kind of saw myself do it. And so then what happened was that once I had vastly escaped the proportions that you can fit in bus seats, and like once life itself became so uncomfortable and I was ashamed of being perceived, I would self-isolate and I basically stopped, interacting with the real world very much. And what that kind of did is then it created this self-fulfilling feedback loop where I was just getting heavier and heavier. And because exercising itself became more and more difficult, I honestly thought I was too far gone and there was like very little I could do. And part of this was just the fact that the raging appetite, which some people would call carb addiction or sugar addiction or whatever the situation is, my absolutely ravenous appetite was something that I felt was an unmovable obstacle fundamentally. And so I guess what I am pleased to share is that I am now finally at the point where I no longer feel like those obstacles were insurmountable. I am substantially farther away from them, and some of those things now kind of feel a little abstract. Now, to be fair, I definitely know with a few simple behavior changes, it can come back real quick. For instance, a while back, I had a McDonald's cheeseburger, just by itself a while back, and it's like, wow, the wanting more fast food after that definitely came back with a vengeance, because I believe my body remembers what it was like to get all that energy. And so I do notice that I definitely have to be careful, but all that being said, I am very grateful to know that these are situations that can be managed. They are not a death sentence. They are not things that can't be overcome, even if it does take probably a lot of work and support to get it done. And that's certainly the situation I've been in. I have had a lot of kindness sent my way. I have had definitely a lot of encouragement and kindness from people, and it really does mean a great deal. I greatly appreciate anyone who's listening to this, and I'm actually constantly surprised when I find out some of my friends are actually checking in on this. The fact of the matter is that I started this before I started trying to like come out of my shell a bit more. So it's been somewhat surreal to see this project grow beyond its initial very, I would say, cut off and isolated beginnings. So I'm grateful for all that. I'm grateful for the kind things people say to me. I'm grateful for the well wishes, and I'm grateful for the support people give me and others, because I really do think that is the magic ingredient, is a simple amount of kindness it takes to help someone realize that there is hope in difficult situations. So thank you so much. Have an excellent one.